First Timothy chapter number 2. First Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and down through verse number 6. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible, the seven blessings of prayer, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, as we take some time to talk on the amazing, wonderful subject of prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would hear often from us, Lord, and that you would be pleased, dear God, as we walk through this week, that we take the time and we're careful to spend time talking to you and communicating to you throughout the day. I pray, Lord, that you would use this time to remind us of the importance of prayer and the availability of prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would turn us into prayer warriors, each and every one. So many times we think of prayer warriors, we think of some senior saint in the church. But the honest truth is, a child can be a prayer warrior. A teenager could decide to be a prayer warrior. A young adult could be a prayer warrior. Lord, we all could be prayer warriors. And so I pray, Lord, that, dear God, so many things are going on, so many things are happening. And the devil is certainly intensifying his efforts. So, Lord, may we become a people of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The seven blessings of prayer, the seven blessings of prayer. Some of the best memories that I have growing up and some of the best memories that I have as an adult are prayer meetings. I like prayer meetings. I love to get together and just pray. Wednesday night services historically started out as a midweek prayer meeting. And I'm not against the teaching and preaching of the Bible. I certainly think that that was a wonderful addition to Wednesday night. But I sure would hate to see us forsake the matter of prayer and having a time of united prayer for the church. I remember growing up going to church and having prayer time. And it was an important time in the churches that we, the church we were saved at. Matter of fact, I got to tell you a funny story because it just happened this weekend. And me and Brother Reiser and Ryan Tharp and Nathan Walton decided we'd sneak away and spend a couple days playing golf. And so right after Mother's Day service, we got in the car with the intention of making it to Knoxville, Tennessee, to be able to walk in to listen to Clarence Sexton preach. We realized that we weren't going to make it. And so these guys with their smartphones get on the phone and get on the computer on their phone. I'm not sure how they do these things. And they begin to look for churches that we might be able to go to. King James Bible Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches. And so we get down there about the Kentucky-Tennessee line, and they tell me that they found on their high-tech computer phones the church that we need to go to. And so I begin to follow the directions as it's being spoken to me from one of their phones. And so we take a turn when the phone says to take a turn, and we take another turn, and then we go straight. And whatever the phone is telling us, that's what we're doing. And we're going to find the Star Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. We finally get to where it's counting down, you know, just a mile ahead, a half mile ahead, a quarter mile ahead, 200 feet on your right, 200 feet on our right, there's an empty field. There is no Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. It says you have arrived. We stop in the middle of the road and look, and we see cows, and begin to look upward, the Star Baptist Church. Maybe it's in the sky. You know, we don't know where this is at. And so we're looking, and we go on past, and we reset it, and it takes us back and stops us at the same field, at the same intersection, and there's nothing there. And so I said, guys, it's 6 o'clock. We've got to get to a church. This was supposed to start at 6. We got to get. And one of them said, well, there's a Baptist church that we passed on the way. It's a Missionary Baptist Church. I said, at this point, I'll just go to any church. I mean, you know, Presbyterian, Apostolic, Lutheran, Catholic. Let's get to a church, you know. And no, they said a Missionary Baptist Church was right down here. We passed. I said, well, let's just go. If they got 6 o'clock services, we're going. So we pull in. Beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous little country church building. Oh, my goodness sake. And a matter of fact, I'm standing out front at 10 after the service already start, and they've got such a beautiful open belfry steeple with the bell exposed. I'm out there in the parking lot taking pictures of it because I'm going to show Chad and have him build me one on top of our church here. I may like to have a church bell. Would that be awesome to have a church bell? I'd love to have a church bell. How many want to pay for a church bell? All right. Lost everybody right there, but just beautiful. I'm out there with my phone taking pictures. I've got the phone that doesn't talk to you and doesn't tell you where to go to find a church that doesn't exist there, you know. So, well, maybe it does, but I don't know how to talk to it. Some of these guys flirt with their phones, you know. There's some woman that lives on their phone. What's her name? Boom! Just like that. Yeah, just, So, you seem to know her pretty well. Boom, man. Yeah, that's our... I'm surprised he didn't say serious sweetie, you know. Anyway, there we are in the middle of the field, and we head back, and there's this beautiful little Missionary Baptist church. And I'm a little confused because church is 6 o'clock, and we're getting ready to walk in. When we pulled in, all the children in back in the playground area playing. And this little, 10, 11, 12-year-old girl comes running up. And Mom, you would have loved it. She sounded like one of the Kelly girls when they were little. She had the most amazing and beautiful Tennessee accent than you've ever heard in your life. I'm not even going to try to do it because I cannot do it. But she says something along the lines of, you know, y'all here for church? And I just wanted to keep her talking. I just wanted to keep her talking. She's amazing. And I said, yes. I said, are they having church? Our church is having a prayer meeting. She said, We just need some prayer, just some things in the church. We just need some prayer. Y'all are welcome to go on in. And I thought, well, that was odd. She said, I'm watching the children back here, and they're having a prayer meeting. So I walked in there, and there was a guy sitting over by the piano, and he's playing the piano, singing a special song. And we sat towards the back. He'll slip in, sat towards the back. And I watched. There's probably, maybe 15, 20 people in this little church. And a lot of people are dabbing their eyes and kind of crying, and this man's singing, and the pastor's on the front row, and of course we don't know what's going on. And so the pastor doesn't know we slipped in. Finally the song is done, the singer comes down, sits down, the pastor stands up in front of the pulpit and looks up and says, oh, we have visitors. And he said, I'll meet you in just a few minutes. He said, there's some things going on in our church, and to be honest with you, he said, I'm not going to preach or teach tonight. I just really felt like we need to pray. And so he said, I'd like to have anybody that would like to come to the front and pray. Now, this is the part that's funny, because I didn't realize these three guys and how sheltered they are and what little exposure they've had to things that don't normally occur at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. How many of you, come on, I want to help these guys that thought, how many of you ever been to a church service where before church, after church, somewhere in the church gets together, gets up in a circle, holds hand, and gives prayer requests and prays. Raise your hand real high if you've been in that kind of church. See, I wasn't crazy. It happens everywhere. Well, these guys are walking up with me. First of all, Nathan said, I didn't think the preacher was going to go. Well, I'm going to go. Why not? So I charged down there. They don't start kneeling around like we do. They all stand up at the front and hold hands. And Nathan told me later, he said, I know my pastor's not going to do that. I walk right over to the pastor and hold the pastor's hand. And then who was with me on this side? Who did I have? Ryan. Me and Ryan held hands. Yeah. 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 Last Sunday night, while y'all were in church, me and Ryan Tharp standing in church holding hands. Which wouldn't be bad if it was like for 20 seconds or 30 seconds, but they all, and then Brother Reiser and Nathan were holding hands. And Brother Reiser tripped over himself, rushing over towards this real cute girl, and wanted to make sure that he about hurt himself, man. Him and Nathan was kind of jostling with each other, trying to get him. No cute girls involved. No cute girls involved. Absolutely not. But then Nathan and Jonathan are holding hands, and we're all standing there holding hands. And the preacher just kind of bows his head, and it all gets quiet. And we're holding hands, and we're still holding hands. And Then he says this. I'm thinking, pray, man, pray. This is weird. This is a little awkward, so just pray. Then he says this. He says, anybody got any prayer requests? I'm like, oh, no. Couldn't you have asked a prayer request before we started holding hands? Okay. And then they've got to have 60 seconds of quiet while everybody's thinking about what they want to say. I thought, come on, somebody say something here. Finally, after 60 seconds of standing there holding hands, some little gal speaks up and says, my sister, she's having a tough time. Would you pray for my sister? And they all kind of nod together, and then they stand there for another 60 seconds and get quiet. And in that church, it might be in the Constitution that there has to be 60 seconds between prayer requests. This thing draws out for a long time. And the whole time, I'm holding hands with two men. They're taking prayer requests. And then finally, we get around to praying, and Pastor Justin prays. I don't know what his last name was. Pastor Justin bows his head and prays. But on a serious note, I thought, well, this is unusual. But he said, I'd like to see you three men after we get done praying. He said, we've got a situation at the church here where we got a 20-year-old young lady from our church that's come up missing. I mean, she went to Lexington to watch her mom graduate from college, went out with some friends, and never came back. Didn't show up to work the next day. Don't know where she is. And you can imagine, if that was one of our girls, are you kidding me? Brother, I'd shut down the message and we'd pray. I don't know if we'd hold hands, but we'd pray. You know, and so I appreciated the spirit of whatever. And can I say this? I just enjoyed it. It was, you know what? Sometimes coming to church and just praying, that's not a bad thing. What a precious thing. Sometimes God's people just, listen, I want to remind you of something you already know. I don't think I'm going to tell you anything tonight that you don't already know. I'm just going to remind you of some good things. Folks, listen to me. Prayer works. Prayer works. I called the preacher when I got home yesterday and left a message on the church answering machine. I didn't have a cell phone number. Ask him to call me. I haven't gotten a call back yet. Maybe I will tonight or maybe tomorrow. This young lady's name is Sarah. And I told the guys later, I said, you know what, I don't know why God set up the circumstances he did to redirect us the way he did, but maybe it was because God needed four more men who he knew would pray for this young lady. And so we did that. We did that throughout the next several days. We took the time to pray for this young lady, and I don't know what the circumstances is, but I'll get word to you, but she may still be missing. Let's pray for Sarah. How about that? We'll just do that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? Prayer's a blessing. Prayer's a blessing. I'm going to remind you, we won't take a lot of time tonight. I'll get through this quick, but I'm going to give you seven things. You know what? Number one, you can pray. Hey, if you're a born-again child of God, you can pray. I think it's great when mama prays for you and daddy prays for you and the preacher prays for you and Sunday school teacher prays for you, but I'm going to tell you this, there's not anybody in here out of the youngest child. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can lift up your voice and say this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can call on the name of the Lord yourself. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. You can pray to Him. You can go to Him personally. You don't have to call Pastor Jerry. Now, if you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But you know what? Don't use me as a substitute. Okay? This isn't a Catholic church. We don't have to go to the priest and say, hey, could you talk to God for me? Folks, you are a priest if you're saved. You have access to the Holy of Holies. If you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. By the way, watch this. If you're lost, you can still pray to the Heavenly Father. You can pray to be saved tonight. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Pray to God. Confess your sins. Repent. Turn from your sins to the Savior. You can be saved today. God hears the prayer of a lost man when that prayer is a prayer seeking salvation. Number two, how about this? You can pray at any time. Isn't this a comfort? You can wake up in the middle of the night. And you know what? There's not a person maybe on the in this area that's awake also. And there's nobody to call. And there's nobody to talk to. And something's heavy on your heart. You know what? You can pray at night. The Bible says you can pray in the morning unto thee. Psalm 88:13. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord. In the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. You can pray in the evening and in the morning and at noon. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. At night you can pray, Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he, speaking of Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. How about this? This summarizes it. You can pray always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can get a hold of God anytime you need to get a hold of Him. You know, you never get a busy signal. You never say, well, sorry, you had to call back during office hours. The Lord is always listening. You can go to Him at any time and pray at any time. You can pray whenever. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray with yourself or by others. Can I just share this with you? I like doing both. I thank God for the times of solitary prayer, closet prayer. So we're supposed to have those. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Look right up here. Me and God have some secrets. And you and God ought to have some secrets. There ought to be some things that you just talk to the Lord about and you don't talk to anybody else about. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? You know what? Watch this. He'll keep the secrets. Most people won't. You ever try to say, oh, listen, I got to tell you something. Don't tell anybody. And they don't for about 10 seconds after you left the door. And then, you know, I'm just saying most people, that's the way human nature tends to be. But you know what? I found out this. God keeps secrets. And I can go to Him in secret and I can pray to Him and tell Him things that I wouldn't maybe tell another human being. I can expose to Him some of the fears and some of the shortcomings of my life and know that, you know what, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I will not be condemned. I'll be forgiven of those things. I can be honest with Him about the weaknesses of my life. I can ask Him for the help that I need in areas of my life. And you know what? Thank God. He always is there and He always understands. Jesus loved the solitary place of prayer. In Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great day, while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. I love that. A solitary place. I almost just preached on this one verse tonight. A solitary place. And there prayed. You know what that word solitary means in connection there to the word place? It means a place where you go alone, just you and God. Everybody needs a solitary place. So you can pray by yourself or you can pray with others. United prayer is taught throughout the Bible. Acts chapter 1, your preacher speaks a lot about united prayer. I believe in the power of united prayer. And when they were come in, they went up to an upper room. There abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zealots, Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one prayer and supplication with the women and with Mary. And you know what? A bunch of Christians got together. By the way, these are Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. But you know what they were at this point? They were just a bunch of scared Christians that didn't even know what they were getting into. And you know how they started this whole thing? You know how the book of Acts starts? A bunch of scared Christians don't even know for sure what they're getting themselves into. Just got in an upper room and looked at each other and say, let's get on our face and let's get a hold of God. We've got to have God. And they begin to pray. Most churches would sure like to experience in Acts chapter number 2, but most churches won't do what it takes in Acts chapter 1 to see what happened in Acts chapter number 2. But you know what? I like praying. And sometimes it's with a small group. It's me and one other brother in Christ. Sometimes it's a group of men. I love men prayer meetings. I'll just tell you. I just like being in a room with a group of men and listen to them pray. It just does something for this preacher. I like church prayer meeting. I get here on Wednesday night and come up here and pray. And sometimes, you know what, just for a few seconds, few moments of our prayer time, I'll kind of detach myself from my group and I'll just listen and I'll hear all over the auditorium the voices of God's people being lifted up in prayer to God. And I think that must please the Lord. I think when God looks, I think God enjoys Wednesday nights at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I just think God looks down and He sees coming from Blessed Oak Baptist Church that sweet incense of prayer that floats up to heaven, and He leans over and smells that sweet incense of prayer. And you know what? He finds it to be wonderful and beautiful and appealing to Him. I don't know if there's anything that pleases the Lord more than just listening, leaning over and listening to a group of Christians pray. So you can pray by yourself and you pray with others. Number four, you can pray about everything. Everything. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the result, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can pray about everything. There's nothing you need to hold back on. If it's worth worrying about, watch this. Some of you need to write this in your Bible. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. You spend the next 20 minutes, hour being overcome with worry, or you know what? You can overcome through prayer. That's the choice you have. That means you can go to the Lord with every need. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know what the need is. It doesn't matter. Go to God with it. Every circumstance. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I sometimes don't know what the will of God is, so I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the will of God is, so I don't know how to pray. And so sometimes I get on my knees and I say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need your help here, because he knows what the will of God is. And sometimes it's awfully good just to be in the presence of God and not say a thing, just to get quiet. Just maybe let the Holy Spirit do the praying for you for a while. And just spend a lot of time listening. You know, when you're communicating with God, how many of you ever been involved in a one-sided conversation in your life? All right. You're held captive by motor mouth. They won't stop talking. And every once in a while you'll get a, really? Well, and that's about all you get in, the whole 15-minute conversation. You ever think that God might just want to say sometimes to us, hey, if you'd hush up a minute, I'd tell you some stuff. And I think, you know what, prayer's good, but sometimes, you know what, we need to just get before God's presence, say, Lord, speak to my heart about this. I'm just going to get quiet for a while, Lord, and I'm just going to dwell on you, and I'm going to meditate on you. And Lord, please speak to my heart. I need wisdom right now. It's amazing in those times of quiet devotion how many times a decision that you've been wrestling with and that you didn't know what to do, and you're not sure about the decision to make, and yet in a solitary place, in a quiet place, with the help of Almighty God, you come to absolutely a perfect decision perfect peace concerning the decision of what you need to do. That's a wonderful place to be. So you can pray. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray about everything. Watch this. You can pray anywhere. And one of the fun, I think, studies of the Bible is to find out all the different places in the Bible where people prayed. Jonah prayed out of a fish's belly. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Matthew 21:13 says we can pray at church. My house should be called the house of prayer. Hannah prayed at the temple for a son. God granted her request. I think church is a good place to pray. How about this? Jesus went out in the wilderness. I think the woods. I think getting out in nature is a great place to pray. I think just walking through a field, walking through a forest, take a hiking trail down over here at Shechemac, and just spend some time in God's good creation talking to the Lord. How about cottage prayer meetings? Acts 12:12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Didn't Lydia and some gals conduct a prayer meeting down by the riverside in Acts 16? How about on the housetop? All right, don't do it if you got a real steep roof, but up on the housetop. Acts 10:9, on the morrows they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. We find him in praying in prison in Acts 16. You know what? God sent an angel down to kick the doors open. Everywhere, 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There's no bad place to pray. I think of all the unusual places where we've conducted prayer meetings over the years. Brother Tom, you remember we had a prayer meeting in your turkey barns. And we had prayer meetings in the yards of men who was wanting to sell their homes and asking God's will in that. We remember those of you 100 years ago that went to West Virginia with me, and we went up into the cemetery above Sisterville, West Virginia. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, folks. West Virginia, all you have is hills. I mean, that's all there is. And their cemeteries are literally on hillsides. And the way they do that, the head of the person is 6 feet under, but their feet are sticking out. And that's the way they bury everybody in West Virginia. And then, you know what, they never had shoes on their whole life anyway, so they're pretty happy that way. And but I mean, climbing up in that cemetery, Brother Biber said, I want to take you somewhere. And boy, he took us up, and we were taking that van and going up through those hills, and
curves, and man alive, I'm telling you what, for a flatlander, that's terrifying stuff. And we park on a hillside, and I'm praying, dear Lord, please help this van to be here when I come back. And we get out in the cemetery, and he takes us way up this hillside to the very top corner of the cemetery. And I think, where are we going? Maybe there's a unique gravestone. Maybe there's somebody that he cares about that's buried up there. And he wouldn't tell us where we were going. We climbed all the way to the top of that hill. And when we got there, we were still facing up the hill. And Brother Biber said, turn around and look now. And there was only one place in that cemetery. You had to go all the way to the very top. But if you went all the way to the very top and you turn around, you look down below, and there was the entire little town of Sisterville, West Virginia. You could just see it laid out right before you. He said this, tears running down his face. He said, I come up here and pray for my city. I come up here and pray for my city. I have always envied that, Brother Harold. I wish there was a place. And I don't feel like climbing the water tower. Probably get arrested or fall off or do something, but I've always envied that. I thought, what a wonderful thing. Wasn't it Jesus, as he was going towards Jerusalem, that stopped a ways out, looked over the city and wept and prayed for his city? And what a wonderful thing. Folks, listen to me. You can pray anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. Well, this isn't a good place to pray. There's not a bad place to pray. What are you talking about, a good place to pray? There's not a bad place to pray. Pray while you're driving. Just don't shut your eyes. Pray while you're driving. Pray while you're walking. How much of our life is spent waiting in line somewhere? You can pray right there. It's a good thing to do. You can pray right there. Any place you are, God is listening and God will hear you. Number six, you can pray for anyone. There's a lot of people we ought to pray for. The Bible tells us there's a lot of groups. Little children. Jesus took time to pray for the little children. It says in Matthew 19, when there were brought unto him little children, I love this, and he should put his hands on them and pray. And moms and dads would just bring their children to Jesus. What an opportunity that would be. You think about that? Wouldn't your parents love to have had the opportunity when your children are little to take them to Jesus and have Jesus put his hand upon them and pray for them? What a wonderful thing. I think we ought to spend a lot of time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church praying for the children. I'm not Jesus, but what you'll see the pastor do a lot of time when the children walk by, stop and talk to me, I'll reach over and put my hand on their head. I will tell you this, when I do that, I pray for them. When I put my hand on their head, I always pray for them. I want God to raise up these children and keep them strong in the Lord and protect them from the devil and all that he would like to do to ruin their lives. And I'll tell you something, we need to pray for our children. I love going out to the school, and I do this when the kids, of course, aren't there, but I love going to the Learning Center and just going to every chair and turn it into an altar and pray for the students of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love our school. I love doing that. Bible says that we are to pray for our enemies. Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. We're to pray for laborers for the harvest in Luke chapter 10. We're to pray for the sick in James chapter 5. Hey, here's one. It's okay to pray for yourself. Luke chapter 22 verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You know what he was saying? He's saying you pray for yourself right now, that you don't enter into temptation. I think most of our prayers probably ought to be for somebody else, but I'm going to make sure you understand this. It's not a sin. It's not wrong to pray for your own needs. And I come and talk to the Lord on a regular basis and say, Lord, I need this right now. Or, Lord, I need your strength right now. Lord, I'm facing this and I don't have the wisdom. God, I need this. And so pray for yourself. 1 Timothy, in our text, we learn that we're to pray for all men. I exalt, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And for those in authority, for kings and for all that are in authority. I got an answer to prayer about that. Came in from spending some time taking the seed line guys out for supper last night. We took them over to the cat farm. And you got to watch those two young guys interact with those cats and take pictures. See, Elijah's a pure city boy. I mean, pure city boy. He finally, Friday night, said to Chad Robinson, I need to get to a city. He said, why? He said, I want to go to Terre Haute. He said, why? I just need to get to a city. I need to go to Terre Haute. He said, we can go to Linton. No, I need to go to Terre Haute. And this was 10 o'clock at night. And so Brother Chad said, I couldn't say no. Those two boys worked so hard. So I put him in. He got them in the vehicle Friday night at 10 o'clock at night. And they decided they were going to follow their GPS and go to Terre Haute. So they ended up clearing Brazil, Indiana, and then ended up coming back. and getting to Terre Haute the long way. He said he took the shortcut home, but we got there the long way. And he said that when Elijah got close enough to see the glow of the city, he points out the front window and says, "Civilization, civilization." So, as you can imagine the fun we had at the exotic feline rescue center as he's walking through. I said, "Guys, I'm just going to tell you when we walk into this." I said, two things. Number one, I said, when you get out of the vehicle and you walk in there, you're going to look around and think a bunch of crazy Indiana rednecks threw some fence up and decided to keep a bunch of lions and tigers. I said, number two, the reason you're going to think that is because a bunch of crazy redneck Indiana people threw up a bunch of fences and decided to keep lions and tigers. And he was so nervous. It was so fun to watch him. And he was standing there talking to the gal about this, and he didn't see that one of the, you've been there where the tigers start stalking you, and he doesn't realize this tiger is coming up behind him, stalking him like this, and I'm watching, I'm hitting Chad, I'm pointing over, and it would freeze her at once. I'm going to tell you, that'll make the hair stand up on your back. He's sitting there talking, he has no idea. All of a sudden, it gets just close enough, and it jumps up and hits that fence, and I'm going to tell you That skinny, tall drink of water jumped about that far in the air and screamed like a little girl. It was fantastic, man. It was awesome. And, civilization. I came back to the house after all of that nonsense. We took him out to eat and then I came back to the house. There's, you know, every copy of the Daily World for a week stacked up on the kitchen table because we haven't been home to see anything. So I grab them. You know, it takes about 7.3 seconds to read the paper as I flip through and see if there's anything. No, is there anything? No. And I got to Saturday's paper, and it says that our House Representative Craig Battles resigned and will not seek re-election in the fall. And folks, I'm going to tell you what that is. That's an answer to prayer. It is an answer to prayer. Brother Eric Miller told us, you know what, you pray for those in authority. And he said, this is how you pray. You pray that they would vote according to biblical values. And if they don't, you pray that in some manner, some way, God would remove them from office. And I felt like that was an answer to prayer for us. And so, you know what, folks, pray for those in authority. Preacher, I just feel like there's nothing we can do. I mean, the government's a mess, and there's nothing. There is something we can do. There is something we can do. We can pray. And God can change the landscape of our legislature. He can change the landscape of our legislature. God can do that, but we have to pray. Let me finish this up. The last thing is this. You can know that prayer works. You can know that prayer works. Preacher, is it really worth taking the time to pray? Sure it is. Psalms 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. I love that verse. How about Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. Oh, my goodness sakes, we're so undeserving. And folks, one of the reasons that probably we ought to start every prayer with a time of confession is because the one thing that will stand before us and God as far as him hearing our prayers is our iniquity. And you know what? Just start. I said, preacher, I don't even know if I've done anything wrong. You just go ahead and tell the Lord how pitiful you are and how rotten you are and how unworthy you are. And you know what? Pretty soon the Holy Spirit will be supplying illustrations of that in your mind. And you know what? Just get good and clean. Just listen, don't go to God with some kind of haughty spirit as if it's a privilege for God to hear your voice. Always go humbly to the Lord. And I always tell the Lord, you shouldn't even be listening to me. I'm such a mess, God. And I fail you so often, Lord. And yet you love me. I don't understand that. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for forgiving me when I fall short. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for being willing to hear and receive my prayers. I think that's an awesome thing. That God would hear the prayers of Jerry Ross. That he would take attention to my prayers. What a humbling thing. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Preacher, I'm not a righteous man. You can get righteous. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, that'd make us righteous. So you spend time, you get clean. You get clean before the Lord. You get serious about things. You confess your sin. And then you're able to lift up holy hands. Once you're able to lift up holy hands, not because of anything in me, but because of His mercy and forgiveness, I can lift up holy hands. Say, God, before I begin to speak to you, Lord, you know how the kids used to say, come on, Junior ran it. You will wash your hands. It's time to eat. Mama, what do you got to do? You hear the water run for about 3 seconds. And then you hear the towel being used. And they come running back in and they're doing this number. And Mama says, what? Let me see your hands. Well, I washed them. Let me see your hands. And by the way, go look at the towel. Because that dirt didn't go down the sink. And the soap is dry for some reason. But I got clean hands, and I thank God. I want God to look at my hands. I want to say, Lord, you look at my hands. And if there's something on my hands, then you tell me what it is. Come on now. You tell me what it is, Lord. I want you to check my hands. And by the way, if He points something out, we'll just go back to having a time, a little bit more time of confessing and asking forgiveness and getting clean. And I'll say, Lord, check my hands. Because see, listen, I'm not going to get what I need if I go with dirty hands. So I want to hold up holy hands. And that's hard for a sinner. That's hard for somebody walking through this old world. And so I think confession is the best thing to begin every prayer with. Just, Lord, you know what? You know what I am. You know me better than I know myself. You know my shortcomings. Dear God, I want to be clean with you right now. I got some things I need to talk to you about. But I got to be clean with you before I can have an audience. So look at my hands. Isn't that precious? Luke chapter 18, I love this. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, I tell you what, folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you, if you say, what's the greatest secret to prayer? I don't know, but this is way up here near the top, importunity. I'm convinced that I get more from God than the average person just because, you know what, He's going to hear from me until I get what I need. I'm not just going to pray once about it. I'm not just going to pray once a day about it. Sometimes I'm just not going to pray once an hour about it. I'm just going to keep coming to Him. And I'm going to keep crying and hollering and asking and pleading. And one of two things is going to happen. God's going to say, Jerry, you need to stop praying about that. And by the way, He did that to Samuel. He said, I want you to stop praying for Saul. I've made a decision about Saul. I'm moving on. No more prayer about Saul. So God sometimes tells me, Jerry, you need to stop praying about that. That's not my will, and I'm not going to do that. You need to stop praying about it. And then I listen to the Lord and say, okay, Lord. But you know what I found out? One of two things is going to happen. He's either going to tell me, stop praying about it, or I'm going to keep praying until He answers that prayer. And you know what? Importunity. If there is a question, a personal question about my private devotional life that I detest, I hate if people ask me this, and sometimes we get question answer time at some of the places I go to preach with teens, and they'll say, they always want to find out, you know, about your morning devotions, and how much of the Bible do you, you know, how do you start to, and I'm all for it. Hey, I'll answer the question, but I hate this question. Well, how much do you pray every day? And I don't know. How many times did you breathe yesterday? I mean, we want to measure something in a few minutes, you know, we got this stopwatch mentality. Well, what do you mean? I don't know. How many minutes did you talk to your wife yesterday? Some of you guys give me an answer right now. Real easy to figure out. Let me think of another illustration here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Let me teach you this, and I'm done, but please hear me. I mean, I don't know if you're walking with one of your friends and they're with you all day, and I said at the end of that day, well, how much time did you spend talking to them? Well, I don't know. I didn't stop and start a stopwatch every time we started and stopped a conversation. And to me, that's what it means to walk with God. I believe morning devotions is just the opening of a conversation that ought to extend throughout the day. And I think it ought to be as natural to talk to the Lord as it is to breathe. And it doesn't mean that it's always done out loud. But there ought to be a conversation on a regular basis throughout the day, just going on between you and the Lord. Brother Chad Robinson, we had a little bit of problem with the trimmer, and it shut it down for a while. Brother Chad was standing there. And Brother Chad Robinson tried to work on it, tried to get it to do right. And then he paused for a few minutes. And then he made another adjustment. And then he hit the button. It worked perfect. And he looked over at us and he says, "Boy, it sure helps sometimes just to stop and pray." And he began to tell us. He said, "You know, there's been times where I've done everything I can to get a machine or something to work and it just won't work. And we're in the middle of a project." And he said, "I'll just stop for a few minutes and I'll just bow my head and say, 'Lord, I can't seem to figure this out. I don't know what to do.'" And he said, I'll come off for that time of prayer either with a clarity of what's wrong with it or not having done anything to it. And all of a sudden, boom, it just starts working right." And folks, let me tell you something. Life is so much better and so much easier if you just decide you're going to talk to the Lord throughout the day about everything that you're trying to do, everything that you're involved with. I think it'd be good when the phone rings. Your cell phone tends to ring a lot. And you look at who's there before you hit the button. Say, "Lord, just help me to be a blessing. Give me some wisdom now." Wonder how that would change so many phone conversations, you know. I just think when you get out of the car and you're getting ready to walk into a store, you got to say, "Lord, help me to have the eyes of Christ. Help me to be soul sensitive. Just help me to be aware of somebody around me, dear God." I mean, I just think the opportunities are endless. And what a change comes into a person's life when they begin to walk with the Lord and speak with the Lord and carry on this conversation. Lonnie Mattingly said this, "I believe morning devotions ought to be when you like opening your cell phone and calling a friend, only you know what? You don't hang up. You just hang it back on your belt and leave it open all day long. And that way the conversation never ends." Let's pray, church. Let's be a church that prays. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach on this great subject. I'm certainly, dear God, not an example of anything. And there's areas of my prayer life, Lord, that certainly could be improved. And Lord, I want to be better when it comes to prayer and more conscious of your Holy Spirit's presence and more willing to speak and to converse openly with my wonderful God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to be better in this area of prayer. Remind me often, and Lord, keep me in a spirit of prayer. Remind me as I look at people and see people around me that there's nobody that I'm going to pass that doesn't need prayer. There's no greater thing that I can do for somebody than to pray for them. So I pray, Lord, that as I mentioned in my opening prayer, that a child would get a hold of this. Oh, what does it mean to be a prayer warrior? A child could do this where they just decided, "You know what, tomorrow's Monday, and when I get up, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to tell the Lord now, I'm not going to say amen. I'll say amen tonight when it's bedtime. I'm not going to say amen, Lord. I'm just going to talk to you throughout the day." They'd pray for their mother when they see mom, and they'd pray for their dad, and pray for their brothers and sisters, and everything that they do throughout the day. They just include you in it and talk to you about it. And oh, Lord, this isn't some spooky thing. This ought to be a normal way of life for every Christian. Lord, I pray for that kind of relationship, that you would give that and bless our young people with that, our young adults, Lord, our senior saints, all of our adults, Lord. Help us to be people of prayer, we pray in Jesus' name.